Well, hey, thank you all for inviting me to be a part of this. I'm really excited because what I'm going to talk about this morning and our personal approach to sharing the gospel, that's what we call it. We call it IGO, which stands for Intentional Gospel Outreach. And we know the Great Commission, you know, everything's about go. We need to be going. And I want to just piggyback off of what Luke said, and that, you know, this thing is so big, where God in the Great Commission told us to go to the world, and yet He's bringing the world to us. It's so big. People are going to be from all nations, speaking different languages, and we do have some translators, but we're talking thousands and thousands of people. So, yes, Alan. What's that? Yeah, that's why I'm excited about you guys going, because you guys are so, you know, young and vibrant and no technology and all those kind of, you know, you can figure it out, you know? Whereas us older dinosaurs, we need people like you. So I'm glad. And plus, the other thing is hearing about all you guys are doing, you know, going over to Nick and Kendra's and having your guys' meetings are exactly when we planned IGO back about 6 years ago. That's one of the things that we planned in there. We call it hangouts. And you guys are doing it. You're doing all of that stuff and doing it a lot better than some of us that planned it. So, you know, I'd be excited to come and see you guys and see what you're doing. Learn from it. So, no, that's really good. That's exciting to hear. So, let me pray and we'll get started. Father, I thank you so much that you have, first of all, you saved us, and you saved us for a purpose, and we know that that purpose is to be conformed to the image of your Son, but along with that, in that sanctification process after you saved us, you called us to share the gospel, and that's part of it. That's how we are conformed to your image. We learn to speak like you spoke and feel like you feel towards people and have that kind of love and compassion that we couldn't normally have on our own. And you have to give that to us. So I pray as we go through this that you would just open our hearts and our minds, and I pray you would just erase all the fears, and even if all the fears aren't erased, because some of that is good, you give us the courage to overcome those fears, and that's the biggest thing, and that's what makes it exciting, seeing you move and do in us what we could never ever begin to do on our own. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. So I want to talk about just the simplicity of sharing the gospel in a conversation and at the same time being intentional about it. And it, you know, one of the best places that I found in all the scripture is John chapter 4. Have any of you, I'm sure you have, read the story of the woman at the well? John chapter 4, okay? So you know it. That's good. I'm not going to go in. I'm not going to read in everything, but I'm going to talk about a few aspects of it and what Jesus said and did, and then how it changed this woman. And one thing that she said is just the most powerful witness principle or statement, I guess you could say, that we can all follow, and I want to learn from that. So, here we see Jesus came to the well, and it said that he must needs go through Samaria. I mean, he was intentional about meeting this woman. He had to go there. And why do you think he had to meet her that day, that time, just one-on-one, just him and her? Why do you think he planned all that? Share the gospel, yeah, to save her, because she needed a lot, like we all do, right? She was looking for love in all the wrong places, as the story, you know, unfolds. We see that, And she was very ashamed. She was hiding. She was isolating. I mean, her life was just, you know, she was just getting by to get by. And Jesus, in his divinity, he knew that. And he went to meet her so that he could give her the living water, right? She was going to get water. He brought her the living water. And as we see in the story, this transition unfolds as we see the story unfold. And she ends up, as he reveals her life to her, and like she even said, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. You know, she was changed by, you know, finally meeting her Messiah and having the truth and having that hope. It gave her a new purpose. And it said she left her water pot and she went in the city to tell, it said, all the men. She, before that, she was completely ashamed, but now she is like, just like a witnessing evangelistic dynamo, you know, as we'll see. So she left her water pot. And what do you think that water pot symbolizes? Why did she bring, you know, the water pot was, of course, to get water. It's, you got to have water to live. But she went in the middle of the day, which nobody does. The women, you know, the Bible clearly states in Genesis 24, the time of watering was in the evening for women to go out, or in the morning when it was cooler. But she went out in the middle of the day because it was so hot. Because nobody else would be there. Just Jesus. It was just her and Jesus. Right? And that's really the, how we all come to salvation. You know, it's when we're broken, when we're ashamed, when our sin has caused so much damage, we finally see it, and it's just us and Jesus, and we just cry out to him and say, I need you. Right? So this is a perfect picture and a perfect model for us. But she left her water pot. What I was getting at is that was her purpose, right? That was her purpose for being there. And we all need a purpose in life, right? And the biggest purpose that God gives us in life after he saves us, after we become a Christian and we come into God's family, what do you think that greatest purpose that he gives us is, that new purpose? Sharing? Right. Exactly. Going out and sharing the good news that we heard in the same way that we heard it and just tell them what happened to us. That's the best thing that we can do. So what takes place after Jesus has this conversation here with her is what I want you to really note, okay? It's what this woman says in one statement. If she first says, what was that? Wind?
It's whistling through the crack of the
okay. Yeah.
It's just the wind outside.
All right. So she goes in to the men, and all of a sudden she's got all this courage. Her shame is taken away. She's got a new purpose. And she says, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Right? You got to see this man. He told me everything. You know, and those things that he told her weren't necessarily good things, right? They were things that had bound her in shame for many, many years. And she's going out boldly now and saying to all the men, you know, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. And this is what she said. She said, is not this the Christ? The word not goes in your blank. It's amazing that she said it this way. I mean, it's the perfect way to be intentional about sharing the gospel. And this is what I want to talk about. That one word, not. It's called like an emphatic negation, okay? That's a figure of speech or an idiom. But it was so perfect. And we see it throughout the gospel. Jesus used these rhetorical questions to ask his followers many times, or people, strangers that he encountered, to try to invite them in, okay? And we're going to learn some evangelistic wisdom in our witness from this approach, okay? It's powerful. Because in that one word, not, she switched it all around, and it's like she put the ball in their court. Say, you tell me, you know. She gave them the opportunity, right? So that's really what we're all about with the IGO philosophy, is just going to someone humbly and giving them the opportunity, right? We're not trying to force anything, because we can't convince anybody that they need a Savior, right? Only they can. I forget who it was. I think it was A.W. Tozer that said, or maybe you know, if any man can convince another man, you know, of anything, then somebody else can come along later and convince them out of it, right? Or something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
I've heard that. I don't know.
Yeah. But it just goes to say, everybody has this, God has placed within us a free will. And He gives us all the power to choose for ourselves, especially things like this, things that are eternal and concern Him. So, in this witness approach, is not this the Christ? You guys got that? Not in your blank? All right, cool. Well, we got one down. So we see in that she's saying, come, right? She's inviting them to come. See, like she said, see. Come see a man that told me everything that ever I did. She wants to reveal, right? That's what we want to do when we share the gospel. We want to reveal what brought us to faith, right? We're giving a witness or a testimony. You know, it's very simple. We know what happened to us, right? When we were born again, when we were saved. And that's really all we need to do if somebody asks, because, you know, we're not trying to force anything upon anyone. And then the other thing is to consider, right? A rhetorical question is perfect, and especially with the not in there, that negation, because it invites the other person to consider. Consider the facts. Consider what I'm saying, right? Without saying, you know, like, you've got to believe. Oh, they do. They need it. We know they desperately need it. But still, we respect the other person and their right to decide, right? And that's the final thing. It gives them the ability to decide on their own. So she shares what Jesus did. And she invites others to encounter Him personally, just like we want to do, right? We want to share what Jesus did for us. So, only moments earlier, the woman was hiding in shame, but after Jesus Christ came, she became one of the first evangelists in all of Samaria. You know what? And they were at odds with the Jews, right? She got into this kind of argument, you know, well, the Jews say this, and the people from Samaria say that we should worship in this mountain, and you say that we should worship in that, and, you know, Jesus just cut to the chase, and He said, you know, the day is coming, and is, when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor that mountain, for the Father seeks the true worshipers that worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? We worship God, right, internally. I mean, we come to church to worship, but worship is a personal and it's a very intimate thing that only we personally can share with God. And we can share that at church, but it's a very personal thing, right? So her question was humble and persuasive and most of all simple and effective, right? Very intentional. Just one sentence, okay? But I like that, because we know that what we're trying to offer to somebody that's never seen it before, we know that the lost are blind, right? The Bible says that. And what we are offering them is the the chance to step out on faith and believe for themselves. And in Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Right? What we're offering someone, we can understand they don't have any ability to see it, right? They're just basically taking our witness and what they see and what we say from us, right? And then in verse 3 in Hebrews 11, it says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." All right? So that's a mind blower, because God is spirit. He made all of creation from something much deeper, is what it's saying here in Hebrews 11. He spoke it from the spiritual realm into existence, right? Those kind of things, you can imagine, for somebody that's lost, to believe is a big step, right? And I think that's why it's so intimidating for us. We know it's a big step. But here's the thing. We can't possibly save anybody, can we? We don't have the ability. We go out and tell them the good news, right? We go out and share or invite them, or we'll go out and give those Roman booklets, and we'll hand out tracts that have the plan of salvation on it. And hopefully we get a chance to talk to them further and share maybe a little bit of our testimony, just like the woman at the well did. But when it all comes down to it, God has to, and He does, put in place these, what we call, divine appointments, where God speaks through us, but it's as if, and I've heard people say it, it's as if God is speaking directly to them, because He is. And they can't understand that, but even in, I've had people pray and then afterwards, you know, receive Christ and say, "Man, it was like God was speaking directly," because it's His word. He is speaking directly. So all I'm saying is simply we need to learn to trust in God to speak through us, because we can't save anyone. So really, if we can learn to do that, just trust in Him, He does the evangelism. He does the witnessing, right? And when we kicked all this off about IGO in our vision conference in 2022, this was the verse that we used. You know, we always have a verse up on the piano at the front of the church that gives our verse for the year. And this was the verse for that year. And I love it because it says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." So He calls us to share the gospel, right? That's our new purpose. But here's the thing. He's the one that does it. He's the one that actually does it. We just have to be willing to be obedient and go. That's all we need to do. And trust God for the results. Trust Jesus for the results. Right? We just simply need to go and let Him do the driving. Okay, so I'm going to go through four approaches here. We don't have much time, do we? What do we have? What are we going to? 10:15? Okay. So I'm going to do this really fast because I spent all my time in the introduction. But that doesn't matter. That's really what it boils down to, is we just have to be willing to trust Him and allow that to take the fear out of it. And I think you'll really learn that when you go out, it's the most exciting, it's the most, out of this world experience that you'll ever have, sharing the gospel with another person, especially if God puts you in one of those divine appointments and someone actually prays and you can actually feel God speaking through you and giving you the words and, you know, making, you know, their questions just line up with exactly what you're thinking I mean, it's amazing. So there's four things that we learn to be intentional about this simple approach to personal evangelism. The first thing is we will learn to acquire goes in your blank there. We're going to acquire the ability to and the heart of God for personal gospel outreach like you guys already have been doing. So that's great. So how do we acquire this? So IGO teams, we call them intentional gospel outreach teams, and I think, you know, that's an acronym, and so are teams. Teams an acronym for together every man advances the mission simultaneously. We're all working together, right, for the same purpose, to see others come to Christ. Okay, so these teams are the place and the process where we begin to gain our purpose and our testimony with God. This is how we learn. It's like our training field. So when you guys get together and you go over to Nick and Kendra's and you invite your friends and things like that, and people I've heard have actually gotten saved and all that, man, that's exciting stuff. That's where you learn about this whole process of having your heart changed and being open to just be God's being called to share the gospel, right? 1 Peter 3:15 is like the definitive verse for evangelism or witnessing, right? And he tells us what we need to do first. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's the first thing we need to do. Sanctify the Lord God in our own hearts. What do you think that means? Sanctify. How do we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts? Put God first. Perfect. You said it. Set apart from our worldly things for His purpose, to share the gospel. That's how we sanctify it, and getting together at the hangouts and doing those things and inviting your friends and praying for them. That's the biggest thing. Praying for others and praying for God to change your heart. That's the thing that we need to do first. That all of that works together to sanctify or realize that we're set apart for God's purpose. And then it says, and then we're ready. It says, be ready always to give an answer to every man. When are we to be ready?
Always.
Always, right? Yes. So we're ready. It's like we're a soldier, right? We're hypervigilant. We're ready to give an answer to anyone that comes along that asks us the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, right? So we're bold, but we're not brash. That's one of the IGO principles, right? We're doing it with meekness and fear, so we're humble about it, right? That's our approach. So sanctification is a process of being set apart for the special purpose of proclaiming the good news intentionally and always being ready. So when we're sanctified, someone or something is sanctified, it's being set apart for a thing or a purpose that it was intended by its designer, right? We know that the one that created us, our designer, is Jesus Christ, right? And the Word of God, which He is the Word of God, is our DNA. So we are set apart, just like a pen, right? I didn't bring my pen with me. A pen is set apart. Why? For a specific purpose. What's the purpose for your pen?
Right.
Right. Yeah, Lincoln, you have a pen right there, and that pen's sanctified for the purpose of being there when you think something or somebody says something so you can write it down, right? That's the way God uses us as an instrument of His love to share the gospel, the good news, with others. I like Psalm 45:1. It says, my heart is indicting a good manner, a matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer, right? My tongue. What is he saying here? God has given us a tongue, and he wants to write his words on our hearts so that we can speak them to every man that asks us, every person that comes along and asks us the reason of the hope that's in us. You know, this is just a term, a military term, being always ready. It's semper paratus. In the military, it means always ready. And it comes from a process of being made ready through obeying every command, just like a soldier. We are soldiers for the Lord, and the Great Commission is our command to go, right? We just simply have to obey it and expect God for the results. So John 4, 25 and 28, this is what the woman says to Jesus. She says, I know Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ, and when he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he, right? I'm him. He said, I'm your Messiah. And this is where it all changed. He'd already told her all this stuff. She's like, her head is spinning. And he said, I'm here. I'm your Messiah. Only I can save you. And upon this, the disciples came and marveled. And, you know, they're like, why is he talking to her? You know? And they, you know, nobody asked her because he had a specific purpose in dealing with her. And that's when she left her water pot and went on her way to the men of the city and began to witness. So in seeking the Lord's will for our life, curiosity has got to give way to commitment, okay? So in other words, just do it, okay? So let me give you your other blanks. The second is we need to learn to apply a truthful perspective, apply goes in your blank, and a humble approach to what we see and hear from God. Jesus moved her from just simple contact, which he met her at the well. He contacted her. And then he became a friend. He moved her from a friend to faith, right? She believed. And how do we know that she believed? What do you think? It doesn't say there that she believed. Because she, right. She acted upon what he had told her. And she went, and she perfectly, I mean, she was like a dynamo, like I said. She moved them from faith to fellowship, right? So how can we have fellowship with the lost? We can't, can we? We're told, Paul tells us, we should have no fellowship with the lost, right? Fellowship comes from the Holy Spirit, right? Within us, right? And so fellowship, I've heard it explained like this, is two men in a ship, right? Or two or more men in a ship, right? We need the Holy Spirit inside us, like our vessel or container, like a ship. And we need to be together, united within the Holy Spirit. It's what unites us and gives us fellowship. So the woman left her water pot. She went her way. She said, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? It changed her purpose. That goes in your next blank. She saw her new purpose could only be found in Christ and followed his example in sharing the good news with anyone that would listen, right? Every man that asked of her the reason of the hope. And so the second point is the woman took action. Like Nick said, that's how we know she believed. She took action. Action goes in your blank. And she did what she was told as she saw Jesus simply do it. And she was not ashamed, right? Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, right? So the third thing is we must learn to simplify the idea of evangelism. We make it too big. That's why we get afraid. We try to think we have to have all these special things to say. We know how Jesus saved us. We need to just keep it that simple. And we keep it simple by praying and preparing and practicing for relationships that can move us naturally from friend to faith, and then move us supernaturally from faith to fellowship. Okay? The woman at the well, okay, went out, and man, she began, all the men of the city, it said, came out. And it said that all of them believed. I mean, you don't get much better than that. And she didn't have any training. You know, she didn't have any training. She just simply went and told them what Jesus did to her. So what we must do is trust the Holy Spirit to guide us, like it says He is in us to do in John chapter 16. He's there to guide us, and that goes in your blank. And then the second thing is to open the door to other people's hearts so that we can share the good news, right? So that they can know who Christ is, grow in Christ, and then go teach others just like we are, right? It's a continuous reproduction. That's why the gospel is so powerful. And then the fourth and last thing is we must learn to amplify the great news like they have never heard before, right? Sharing your testimony moves a relationship from supernaturally from faith to fellowship. So it looks, in John chapter 4, in verse 40 through 42, this is what it says. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that they would tarry with him. And they abode there 2 days, right? These are the men in the city. These are the men that came out that the woman talked to. Okay? And it says, and many more believed because of his own word. Right? It's the word of God that changes people's hearts, right? It's not our words. It's God's word. It's the most powerful thing in the universe. We just simply need to trust in it and learn to share it, right? They said they believed by his own word. And they said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Okay? So I'm out of time, but I want to give you your last blank. So what this all comes down to, I always put way too much stuff in my notes, man. I've got to learn to simplify. This all comes down to when we learn to cry out to God for fruit, right? Fruit in our life. Give me one person. Can we start to pray for one person? Can you guys start to pray as we go out on, what is it, the 25th? Can you start to pray, God, will you just give me one person, or give me many people, you know? Because He wants to give you much fruit, right? He wants to give you fruit that remains. What that means is people that really get saved, that you can contact with, that maybe we're giving out information that will maybe plant them in a church in their nation or in their country. It'll give them, you know, the Romans where they can get started and get, you know, into the Bible and learn what Jesus actually says to them personally. So we can start to pray for that fruit that remains as the Lord changes our heart and we become like His, and we can amplify His heart, or our heart becomes like His, and amplify His heart of compassion as we have learned to obey His command to simply what?
Go.
Right. That goes in your last prime. Go. Right. We need to just simply learn to go. And if we trust God, that's what I like about, I'm excited to be in here today and next week because, you know, Jesus talks a lot about the young and the children and the younger because they have the ability to just simply trust, right? When we get older, I don't know what happens to us. We learn too many bad habits of doubt and fears creep in. But man, if you can learn now to simply go, God's going to use you guys in an amazing way. And I can't wait to see what He does. So let me pray and we'll get out of here. I'm sorry I went on so long. Father, I thank You, and I just pray over the youth here. Lord, I pray that You would supernaturally just infuse them with the boldness that it takes to share the gospel. And You would temper that with Your humility, knowing how humble You were, Lord, and yet how Your words of truth are the absolute most important thing that everyone needs. Your salvation is a necessity that no one can do without, Lord. So help us to learn to go out with boldness and truly sanctify our hearts, and pray for those other gospel conversations that lead to divine appointments, Lord, so that we can share our faith with others. And we'll give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you, guys.
Tonight, high schoolers, the Fleshman's House, 5 to 8. Be there.